time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes. Back at it. Tail half of the Black History Year of 2021. We here, we in the building, still in your ear canal, you know what I mean? Talking that shit. Happy to be here. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, my brother.
Sounds good, brother. Sounds good.
There you go.
Hey, man.
What's up? Talk to me.
You know, when you're dealing with black men go through stages, right?
Okay.
This is just something that just popped in my head because we said, all right, brother. But, you know what I'm saying? You know, like the 80s, niggas was real aggressive, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, like hard, like Onyx hard, you know what I mean? And then over time, you know, cats started easing up. Like, yeah, and they don't get a lot of love in the media or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't show up anywhere, but when you dealing with real life as a black man with other black men and shit, niggas are getting, I mean, I know they show a lot of violence and shit like that, but like cats is getting more polite these days, you know what I'm saying? Like more respectful about shit. Like, you know, when somebody bump into you now, it don't be no hard, aggressive moment. It'd be like, oh man, pardon me, brother. You know what I mean? Woo, woo, woo. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? What's up, beloved? You know what I mean? Like, cats be talking about beloved. I be like, what is going on? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's like the changing of the sentiment, you know what I mean? And one time a stud stepped on my feet in a club like environment, probably like 2 years ago.
A club like environment. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. What does that even mean? It wasn't a club. It was like a lounge.
Okay.
What's that? You know what I'm saying? It's like a lounge type of spot. And you know, so it was kind of easy. It wasn't a very aggressive situation. It wasn't like bottles and, you know what I'm saying, bottle service and all that. So that's why I say it was more club like.
Got it.
And she stepped on my foot. And then she looked me up and down like Onyx, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I thought to myself, like, who is she impersonating? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Men don't even act like that no more. You know what I'm saying?
She like, got an old reference point. Yeah.
Right. Like, man, you are extra hard. Like, you might want to roll up one of your jean legs and tie a bandana around your calf.
Oh, man. Either that or get a software update.
Exactly.
It's a different man out here nowadays. Yeah, I feel you. That's yes. Yeah.
Nah, so I want to appreciate, you know what I'm saying, where black men are now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And as much as a bad rap that we get on a lot of occasions, when I do see a group of men together, you know what I'm saying, usually be like, oh shit, this nigga's about to be tripping.
Right.
But as I'm passing by, you see a lot of smiling, a lot of domino playing, and you know what I'm saying, niggas just kicking it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, man, we are being important. We need a new publicist.
Yeah, definitely need a new press campaign. It's tough too, because to that point, what I've noticed, to your point, yeah, it's definitely a lot more I don't know if tenderness is the word or like just nah, because it's like a lot more sensitivity, a lot more a broader array of feelings are expressed,
right.
Definitely.
Right.
And it's weird though, because sometimes it's like, you know, if you've been a black man through the years, there's so many, like there's the evolution. So there are moments, right, of hangups. I just had, right, one of these moments recently. You know, every time I've been feeling like when my homies would text me or some shit like, yo, I love you, bro. I'm in it. And he about to hit him back with the, I love you too, bro. But it be feeling weird, but it's like, that's love. But it's different. It's a It's an evolution, so it's not what you're comfortable with. It's, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's like a transcript of love. Look at this nigga right over here. It's like your fucking black man from 94 looking at your text message. Look at this right shit, huh? Okay. Look, oh, in love ass. Yeah, oh, sensitive. You know what I mean?
Hey, but you got to take the, when you respond back, you got to take the eye off and just be like, love you too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or just love. Yeah. I see people
much,
say,
much love.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's like one of those, it's, I feel like that right there, that transaction is almost like a challenge. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's see where you at with it. Let's see if you still on some old hyper-masculinity shit or if you know what I mean? You know. So it's good. It's always funny too, because it definitely pops up around the time somebody die, which is totally unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody die, that's when people be like, yo, listen, man, before I go, I just want to let you know, man, I love you, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's always a little bit of preemptive aggression. Yo, listen. You know what I'm saying? You got to do that sniff. You know what I'm saying? Real talk, though. Yeah, I mean, I love you, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, just know that. You, yeah, yeah.
Right.
All
right,
man. Anyway, I'm out. And
the shit that, you know what I'm saying, it be like some of the toughest guys, you know what I'm saying? So it don't be like, you know, like a urbane, metrosexual type of guy in a suit. It be like your hardest, like cats who been through something who really understands the value of making it this far, you know what I mean? And it's like you almost buy into the media tropes. And it'd be like, you know, you try to keep, hang on to some of the things, but then it's like, damn, why? You know what I mean?
Right.
Why? You know, and then as you start to look, you start to see a different rapport going on. It's like, you know, I know the news show a lot of the wild shit happening nowadays, but what they don't show is like the regular everyday cats just, you know what I mean? It's like on one of the blocks in my neighborhood, the next block, the same street, but the next block over.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of people who've been on that block for a long time, old timers, a lot of men. You know what I'm saying? Like, my block got a lot of women on the block, but that block got a lot of men.
Mm-hmm.
And you see various generations of this block. And New York Times did some, the New York Times Magazine did something on that particular block, just mapping who actually still lives on the block.
Recently? So,
probably in 2019.
Okay.
You know, so they did that one block, and they went house to house and identify who owns the house, who lives there, and shit like that. And they did a story on the changing Bed-Stuy, but how that block has retained a lot of, you know, old timers.
Mm-hmm.
So on that block, it's a lot of men, like older, younger, like multi-generation. And they all, you know what I'm saying, it's like you might see four or five houses with just men sitting on the stoop kicking it, or, you know, grilling, or just, you know, a couple of cars double parked, and, you know, they just on the sidewalk having a talk. I don't know if they're related or whatever, but because I'm an outsider in that space because I ain't been on that block.
Right.
But I'm looking at it, I'm like, damn, this is very different than, you know what I'm saying, what you normally get. And sometimes I'll be wanting to participate, but I don't know how to enter.
right, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But you know, but it's changing. Like, black men and relationships with each other are changing. You know what I mean? It's not as on guard and aggressive as it once was in a lot of spaces.
Yeah, no, I peep it. I definitely see it. I think, you know, I definitely see it. And then just overall, you know, it's so funny, like, not even funny at all. It's just interesting, the history of black people in America, just America particularly, and obviously worldwide mm-hmm. as well, but, you know, since I live in America, just the history of black people is still evolving, you know? Like,
right.
You know, because there was so much of our history that, to your point, was being propagated to... Mm-hmm. to everybody in the United States, but, you know, particularly the black community. So to your point where you like, damn, you know, I don't even recognize the black people that I'm seeing in these reports, that I'm reading or right. I'm hearing about. Like I got when I'm on the ground, this is what I'm seeing, and it's just like,
right.
you know, it's one of those things that it's evolution live and in like live in real time, and hopefully and ultimately, you know, with the help of the black community, with the help, but the urging of the black community, or even with the asserting of the black community, the media may not all the way catch up, but they're gonna be forced to update because shit's gonna look antiquated and people are not gonna, you're not gonna even feel that. You know what I'm saying? Because they're like, right. nah, that's off base. So
well, but they've always been off base, and that's why there's not a lot of engagement with black men in particular with media, like especially when it comes to advertising and shit like that. Where, you know what I'm saying, that whole Dear Black Man piece was based off of some research that one of these big companies, you know, commissioned to do this multi-million dollars of research about black men and how to reach these unreachable people. And you know what I'm saying? So they understand that they don't get it. And, you know, some companies are trying to tap in because there's a huge market. You can ask Neiman Marcus and Saks Fifth Avenue and Louis Vuitton and Gucci how big that market is. Because, you know what I'm saying, these are the same guys that floated them the whole recession. But that's a whole nother thing. The whole, not recession, the whole pandemic, which, you know what I'm saying, was a recession to some. You know what I mean? But the thing about it is the media is never on the ground and never on time with the sentiments. You know what I mean? Even when it was the crack era and shit was going wild, they still didn't tap into the majority or what was going on. Men, women in particular, in general. You know what I mean? So it's like when it was, everything was hood and gangster, it was like there was no mothers and grandmothers and who was fucking cooking breakfast and taking care of these kids and taking care of the community. Like, you know what I'm saying? If everybody's so fucking gangster, like, you know what I'm saying? How do these communities still be here? And you know what I'm saying? How do these grocery stores and all this shit still here and thrive and shit? Because it's regular people who do shit every day that's very normal and loving. And you know what I'm saying? Is there are happy people in these hoods. You know what I mean? Which probably are the majority of the people. But they single out a minority group that's making the most noise. And then they paint this picture like that's the whole hood. And it's not the case. That's not how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a real observation. I agree with it, you know. Definitely seeing that out there. Yeah, that's what's up. So how are you, though? I don't know if you spoke to that. How are you doing?
Brother, beloved, I'm good.
There you go, brother.
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good out here. You know what I'm saying? Trying to make a way. You know what I'm saying? I don't know way. Make a dollar out of 15 cents. Uh-oh. You know?
I hear that.
You know what I'm saying? Nah, I'm good, man. I'm just moving around, doing a couple of big meetings and shit. Gotta, you know, trying to set up my fall, really. It's hard to set
your
up.
Fall, your autumn. I thought you meant like set up for the downfall. Autumn. Okay, I'm like, damn.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Downfall.
Okay, yeah. Downfall. Nah, my bad. Up with it onward. Up with it onward.
Who does down? I'm embracing my upness. You're talking about a downfall.
Man, my bad. No, that sir. Was me. My party. No,
nah, man. I'm embracing my autumn because, you know, you got to get ahead of this shit sometimes. You can't keep chasing the season that you're in. Cause you gotta plan for the next one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You gotta be a squirrel out here and collect your nuts for the winter and shit. Cause ain't nobody coming to save your ass when shit slow down and everybody get into Christmas mode.
Yeah.
You gotta be ahead of the curve on that. So I'm planning my fall and get my lining up my ducks and doing my meetings and doing my due diligence on how to grow. And excel and launch new things that can carry me into my twilight. That's what I'm focused on.
Wow.
It's kind of like your retirement plan, but it's not planning for retirement. It's planning on what work do I do now that if I had to do it into the end, I would enjoy it?
Right.
So it's like getting out the ideas and the concepts and the random thoughts and putting them out there in the world in a way that they can actually be done and get them out of your head so that you are doing the work that you're working towards, as opposed to just working and then someday I'm going to do the stuff that I had in the back of my mind. I'm going to empty my mind now and then catch up on the work and make sure the work is catching up with what my thoughts are. So that's what I'm on right now. I'm actually, for the first time, building a site for my own personal brand and even my business brand, because before I didn't have no site because it was like, in the type of work that I did, I was in a vulnerable space because I was a small outfit that, you know, didn't have a lot of resources, you know what I'm saying, but I had some big clients. So what would happen is, you know, your competitors would go to your site, look at what you got going on, and then double back and hit up your people like, yo, you know what I'm saying, we could do it better, cheaper, or whatever. And then now you got an unnecessary competition when you can't really stand it. You know what I'm saying? You're not in a place. You're vulnerable. And so, or when somebody says, hey, use these guys, they can handle the work that you got. And then what would happen would be people would be like, you know, I run an investment firm and I'm trying to do some content. Then they'll go look at your site. And then the first thing they see would be not investment shit, not financial shit, but maybe some entertainment shit or some, you know what I mean, brand stuff, but not in their lane. And then they'll immediately write you off like, ah, you know, these guys can't do what we need them to do. So I took the site down. And then when somebody had a request, you know, you would ask them, well, what type of project is it? Well, it's a financial da 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 da. Oh, okay. And then you put together a group of videos that you've done in that space, because over, what, 10 years, we've done over 400 some types of videos. So, you know, ultimately you end up with some stuff that fit that space. And then, oh shit, you did that for that company? Okay, then shit, you can do that for us. So with a site, they was making a decision before they even had a conversation. So, but that's in the client service space type of space. So now moving into more of a ideation space, or more of a product space, it's time to sell your own brand, sell your own square, raise your own flag, create your own nation. And that's what I'm on.
That's what's up. I like that. It's funny. I was just peeping, having this thought to myself as of late. Like, I don't want to say websites are back, because I don't know if they really went anywhere, but you know, like, there was a moment where people were like, well, you don't need a site if you got social media, you got, you know, Instagram, whatever, that is your website, or, you know. And you know, I always kept a site just for like for performance dates and things like that. People say, yo, when's your next show? So you go here, and I put, and you know, I try to be diligent about keeping it updated, you know, because that's the worst thing. You go to somebody's site and it's kind of stagnant, you know what I mean?
Right.
And but just as recently, I've been looking at a few people's websites of all types, you know, just peeping the layout, because it was always a thing. Like, I feel like ever since a website was a thing, it's always been like, it's kind of like, you know how, it's almost the equivalent, you know, you go to an office, their lobby, you know, how their lobby look. If it's a nice lobby, if it's a fly lobby, well, how's it designed? Like, the website, how it speaks to you, how it comes across, what does it connote, you know, all of that. And I've just been paying attention to that. And I'm similarly to what you're talking about, I'm trying to not set up my... Well, yeah, I guess set up my fall, but set up these last 6 months of 2021, now that I'm getting back into the world, you know what I mean, and starting to you know, make money again. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could start delegating a little bit and starting to get back to what we was talking about a few episodes ago. Actually, you know, paying people to do certain things that you're not good at. You know, like, mm-hmm. hey, I need some help on this. Or even some consultation, because I want to get back to my, you know, my online presence, you know, from a site to even social media and things of that nature. Like, I've definitely been, you know, absentee in that regard. So, you know, mm-hmm. it's just interesting that, you know, you're talking about that, something similar. But, yeah, man, it's, I hear you on that. Just getting things, getting the ducks in a row, getting shit ready, turning your engine back on. You know what I'm saying? Car been idle for a bit. Like, now it's like, all right, let me go ahead and warm up this engine. Let me get back in this world, you know? yeah. Because I had my first outing. Like, real deal, we going to see what this vaccine is about type of outing. Yeah, man. So I went to a wedding, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, the El Capitan, he got married, you know. Young Vlad got married.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Salute to Vlad and his wife, Haiti. You know what I mean? I would feel some type of way, but I'm not. Yeah.
Which means I feel a type of way.
But, he did. He did his thing, did that. And so I went
out. That's what's up.
Yeah, it was cool, you know. So shout out to that man, you know. So I went. You know what I mean? I went to the joint. I was in the joint, but I went to the joint, and I'm like, nobody. Well, the decision was that it was people. If you come in, you're vaccinated. I guess that was unspoken. Because it wasn't like it was no informal. You ain't signed nothing. You ain't saying nothing. You know, that's just how we live in now. Like, we taking everybody's word for it. That if you ain't got no mask on, you vaccinated, right? You good. You in the clear. So I'm in the mix with all types of people, and you know, it was funny because in the moment. First of all, I was just happy to be there, you know what I'm saying, to witness the whole situation and, you know, just happy for him. So I was in the moment. I was fully present. I wasn't even in my head about, you know, COVID and droplets and all of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, I was really there engaging with people, you know, chopping it up, having regular conversations as if there was no pandemic. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I forgot. Sometimes people spit when they talk. I was like, oh, shit. I got hit. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even panic, though. That's the crazy thing. I didn't panic until I was in the car going home. Until I was by myself back in my vehicle. You know, whenever I'm in a situation with a lot of people throughout this last year, when I get back, to regroup by myself. I guess you don't regroup by yourself. I guess you do, but a group is more than one. Anyway, when you get back with your own thoughts, you get a little tickle in your throat. You get a little cough. You're like, damn, nigga, did that shit activate that fat? You know, start thinking about it like, you got remorse or whatever. I think I'm good. You know, you do the 10-day countdown or whatever. But it was interesting, man. It was just like, okay, so that was like the pilot. And, you know, now, you know, I've been in contact. You know, I got a show coming up and I have a show coming up in Atlantic City, a couple shows coming up in Atlantic City at the end of July. But then I'm going to start doing some stuff locally fairly soon. So it's just like getting my mind right for that. But back to the initial part of the whole thing, it's just like, you know, getting that engine running again, getting the, you know, like wiping down the whiteboard and putting some new shit on there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, seeing where we at with it. But, man, I was in the world, like, in a real way. I kind of felt like how you felt when you went to that Hawks game, you know, where you're like, woo, okay, so this is a crowd. This is a lot of motherfuckers. You know what I mean?
It's a crowd crowd.
It's a crowd crowd, absolutely. This is a big group of people. But yeah, but it was fun. It was cool. I'm happy to be back into the world. I will not be in the world while you're listening to this probably until evening, because it's going to be a fucking full 97 degrees. I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm not the biggest. I don't like the. I mean, the summer's cool, but when it get north of 90, I look for shade. I'm not really. I know you from the tropics and all of that. I don't know what your stand is, but I don't like all this humidity and super heat. I kind of duck it, and I don't really have a whole lot of summer. I don't got no real summer retire. I'm still rocking with a 2019 situations.
Hey. Well, I'm from Miami, so it was summer all the fucking time. You know what I'm saying? So you have coping mechanisms, and then you have, you know, it's just like, well, I'm about to. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, it's hot all the fucking time. So, yeah, when you have to take a walk or walk to somewhere, you typically find the shade side of the street to walk on. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to, because if you're walking on the sun side of the street, you're going to smell like outdoors by the time you get where you're going. You know what I mean? That's even after you park your car, you're walking to the building, you're going to find the trees and you're going to walk under them motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? That's one. If you don't have to be outside earlier in the day, you don't. You know what I'm saying? You're never going to just see, you know, randomly I'm outside. Like, motherfuckers outside because they either have to be, they going to work, coming from work, or they have some shit to do. But generally, if it's leisure, people are not coming outside until the sun hits that crest of setting. You know what I'm saying? And usually there's some type of sun shower that happens like 3 o'clock or some shit like that. So it's going to rain. Then the sun starts setting. And then it's cooler. Then people start to emerge and come out in the world. Some people don't come out tonight. You know what I mean? What's the other shit you got to do? You know? That's just the majority of your main shit. Oh, the last shit, which is not a widely used thing, I learned it in high school. It was probably in 10th grade in biology or some shit like that. And we were on a chapter talking about the hypothalamus. You know, hypothalamus control your body temperature and shit like that. I'm like, okay, that's some good information to know. A few days later, I'm in math class and the air conditioner is broke. It's hot as fuck in this bitch. But then I remembered the lesson on the hypothalamus, and I was like, oh, like maybe if I talk to my hypothalamus, I could cool down and shit. And so I practiced talking to my hypothalamus. Hey, hypothalamus, it's kind of hot in this motherfucker. Can you bring the temperature down just a little bit and we could, you know what I'm saying, survive? You know? And then it started working. And so so I'm walking home one day with my homeboys. You know, it's a group of us. We walk home and shit. And everybody's sweating. And then one of them look over at me and I wasn't sweating. He's like, man, why you not sweating? What, light-skinned people don't sweat? I was like, man, I sweat, but you probably just need to talk to your hypothalamus. You know what I'm saying? Niggas like, man, get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. I'm like, all right, I'm trying to tell you, dog. You know what I'm saying? And I use that as, you know, even when I feel like I'm getting sick, I try to talk to my antibodies and shit like that. That's why, you know what I'm saying, it's good to know the things and what they do within your body so you could communicate with them effectively. You know what I'm saying? I could call them by name. Okay, antibodies, where y'all at now? I'm going to need y'all on this. Niggas is sneezing and spitting when they talking. You know what I'm saying? But so I use it in that manner. And it was like, as I got grown, people, you know, in the summertime, I like to wear like one of my uniforms for like, you know, where you got to look presentable in the summer is a white button down or a white, you know what I'm saying, some type of white shirt. But I like to wear a white shirt with long sleeves. You know what I'm saying? And And I was at homecoming 2018 at this party. You know what I'm saying? It's hot. But I got, you know, I'm talking to my hypothalamus. We good. We already had an understanding before we went outside. You know what I'm saying? I got my white shirt on, reflecting the sun rays. You know what I mean? Keeping the sun off of my skin. You know, that's important. And then this lady came up to me like, "You not hot? You making me hot?" I was like, "You might want to talk to your hypothalamus, baby, because shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm cool. You see me sweating? Nope, I'm good. You know what I mean? So." You know, it's something you could do about that shit. You know what I mean? It's not just nature doing its thing. It's something that you could do to react to it. And, you know, that's one of the things that I've learned over life.
Mind over matter. Talk to the hypothalamus. Yeah. That's real shit. You know, they were saying, I don't know where I heard it just recently, but they say that so much of disease starts mentally. You know, like if you dwell in or... You know, if you focus on the wrong things or whatever, if you don't really get control over, not manipulating your emotions, but just kind of, it might sound just trivial to say think positive, but you know, like if you're kind of a little bit more in tune with what's going on, identifying the problem, looking more solution based or you know, changing your perspective and things like that, that ultimately it can help you physically, you know?
Yeah.
So, man, I believe that.
I believe it, too. I believe it in all things, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times when you see somebody good at some shit, they have claimed that shit in their mind. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, shit, I am good at this shit, and this is what I'm going to do. This is how I do it. Nah, you're not going to beat me at this, you know? And... that applies, like, you know, we see it in sports and we applaud it in sports when a guy is super competitive and he's not going to give up. He's going to leave it all on the court. But you could do that shit in your regular life. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the shit that you want to do. You can set your mind to do that shit. And it might not win every time, but you get to a point where you fully have overcome something because you believe that you could. And I've seen that shit over and over again. You know what I mean? I've experienced it. I've tried it. I've done it. I still got shit I need to overcome. But I have never gave up, you know what I'm saying, on shit that I knew I could figure out. And a lot of times when you're figuring shit out, you be like, damn, I need it. Man, 90% of the time, everything you need, you already got. Everything you need to get where you're trying to go, you already got that shit. You just got to implement some shit that you're not implementing. And I believe that shit all the way. You know what I'm saying? Like once you set your mind to some shit like this what I am, this what I'm going to do, this how I'm going to be, that shit start, okay, formulating in your way. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. I'm with you on that. Yeah, man. I had to actually get in my mind and fight off the itis because I ate right before we cracked these mics. And I felt that itis creeping up, but I was like, nah, I got to be present. I got to be in this moment. You know what I mean? And I'm good.
Sound like you ate good. Sound like you ate good over there. What was the meal?
Had steak, macaroni and cheese, and this
damn.
I guess that's dinner. I just had an early dinner because I made a steak yesterday. I don't even eat a whole lot of red meat as much anymore. I've been kind of chilling on it, right? But I had a craving for a New York strip, you know what I mean? Like I wanted to see, you know, because I've been trying to become better at making steak. I like a good steak with a nice little char on and the sear. You know what I mean? I'm looking at various ways to do that shit. So I said, fuck it. Last time I was at the grocery store, I copped a New York strip. So I've been, you know, kind of planning it out, waiting a few days. Like, yeah, I'm going to get to this. So I made that shit yesterday. And that shit was official. Sometimes you cook some shit, you might have to just jump back and kiss yourself. You know what I mean? Kiss the chef. Feel good about it. Like, damn, nigga, I killed this one. This here, I won with this. So that shit was fire. And it was a nice size piece of steak, so I could break it down to the next situation. The shit was so good. You know how you be thinking about the leftovers? since you put them right in the refrigerator, you're like, oh, I can't wait to get back to that. So that's probably why I ate it so early. I was starving. And that shit was fire. That shit was very good. It came out official. I enjoyed it. And you know, I had some old I pulled the old, you know, the freezer shit. So I had some macaroni and cheese that I made a while back in the freezer. You know what I mean? I put that out yesterday, put that in the refrigerator. So then that shit came back, and then I forgot that macaroni, that shit was fire too. So it was a good little moment where I was like, okay, D. Yeah, so that was that. And that was it, man. I was feeling good, but I felt a little bit of itis coming on. But as soon as we cracked the mics, I think now just the energy is there. You know what I'm saying? So I'm here, I'm chilling. You know?
Well, you done made me hungry.
Yeah, man.
And I know my meal ain't finna be nothing like that.
Hilarious. Oh, man. Yeah. So that's that, dude. speaking of just cooking and all that, so I was, you know, me, the grocery store, that's probably one of the few places I'd been going to where there's a lot of people throughout this pandemic. And even beyond that, I think I've said this here before, the grocery store is one of them places I've leaned into. It's one of them places, it's like a meditation, you know? It's like one of my places where I kind of, like, I take my time going through the aisles, like, and looking at all of the products. I take photos of certain shit, like, just, you know, like, I've talked about this. There's times when I'm on the road and after a show, outside of clubs or whatever, like one of the few places that might be open is a 24-hour grocery store. So you might go get something just to take back to the hotel. But it's also a place to just zone out. That's back in the day. I might have hit a joint and then like just zoned out in the grocery store and just walked there, just fucking loitered the aisles for a minute. So I wasn't high, but I was shopping just recently, and I was taking my time, and I'm going through it, and you know, hitting my eyes, taking photos, looking at certain shit. Like, I might have to come back for that, or actually practicing restraint. Like, nah, I'm good on that. Typically, I might have grabbed that, but I'ma chill. You know, just little shit, right? And then, one moment of evolution I realized is, I guess I'm getting older or more mature. Something's changed because the cereal aisle does not excite me anymore. It don't do it like it used to. Cereal aisle used to be my shit. It was a battle, you know what I'm saying? Where I'm like, I don't want to get no bullshit. I'm trying not to, because cereal aisle is nothing but straight carbs and sugar. This is straight, you know, you just waking up. But it looked good, you know, you know, it looks exciting, different flavors, different, you know, all of the bright colors, all of that shit, you know, aesthetically and even, you know, just, actually, taste-wise, it was always something that was like, whew, let me just get through this shit. As of late, I've been going through the cereal aisle. I'm looking at that shit like it's just a regular-ass aisle. Like, I've damn near had every cereal that I ever wanted to have. You know what I'm saying? So I got a reference point. I'm not one of these. Sometimes I could get in my thing where, damn, I ain't had this in a minute. I want to try that again. And then you find out, you buy some shit just because you haven't had it in a while. And I think a couple things might have contributed to that. One, earlier in the year, I don't know if you saw this story, but this dude found some shrimp tails in his Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Did you see this shit?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, there was a story that came out. This kid, Jensen Karp, he used to be a rapper. He's Hot Carl. He was signed to Bad Boy, white rapper. But anyway, he found some shrimp tails in his Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And he had the photo. He put the shared it on Twitter, and it was a whole big thing. General Mills kind of got a little defensive. They was like, are you sure? You know what I mean? Instead of saying, yo, my bad, let's kind of make this right, they kind of started saying maybe he was lying, whatever. But from the photos, it looked like it was legitimate. I don't know how it happened. Maybe whoever was working the thing had some shrimp. Said, fuck it. You know what I mean? He threw the shit in the batch and was like, it is what it is. But that turned me off. One, because I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch. That's one of those. That's up there. Uh-huh. That's one of those top tier cereals. But then, you know, I'm allergic to shrimp. I don't really fuck with shrimp. So that shit kind of all the way turned me off. And the way that they handled that, I was kind of whack. And then I think there was some other shit. Oh, I went and bought some peanut butter Chex recently on a whim. Because I typically like peanut butter cereals, you know what I mean? Like, I like peanut butter Cap'n Crunch, you know what I'm saying?
That's the one.
That's the one, right. Absolutely. So I like peanut butter Cap'n Crunch. They actually got, they got Reese's Puff cereal. And actually, about maybe a month ago, Little Yachty was on the cover of those, the cover. I'm making it sound like a magazine. He was on the front of the shit. But so I said, you know, I typically like peanut butter cereal. I fuck with Chex typically, you know, like a cinnamon or whatever. Let me try these peanut butter Chex. Them shits was trash. So I think combined those two things kind of got me looking, you know, lukewarm on the cereal aisle. So that's that. And then beyond that, you know, the supermarket I go to has a nice little beer selection too. And I realize a lot of times when I'm judging a beer, besides the ABV, you know what I'm saying, the alcohol content, I'm looking at the, I often look at the cover art. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost like record shopping. Like, I look at these beers and I'm like, oh, this is kind of fire. And there's a lot of beer distributors, they use different artists. Like, they'll actually commission artists to do some cool shit. You know what I'm saying? I forget one of the names of one of the people that we've rocked with before. I forget the name of I can't remember, but the distributor or whatever. But yeah, there's quite a few, but in particular this one beer company, they use pretty cool artists and shit like that. So I find myself like being inspired by, you know, like the presentation, you know what I'm saying? I find myself also taking a whole lot of photos when I'm in that aisle, which I don't know. I don't think it's as weird as it used to be, but I definitely, when I'm in the supermarket, I take photos of mad shit, whether it's just the packaging, because maybe I want to flip it for like a flyer or something. I always got that in my back of my mind since I was young. But, and then it's also like prices and shit. I'm Johnny Price comparison. You know what I'm saying? Okay, they got this here for this. When I go over here, this shit is just, you know what I mean? Whatever, whatever. But anyway,
the beer thing is very interesting to me. You know what I'm saying? Because they are using a lot of artists and they're venturing away from just your traditional cans and bottles and stuff like that. So packaging is becoming very important. And, you know, a lot of these, you know, with the local breweries and stuff like that coming of age, there's a, you know, they're touching deeper into the community for relevant things and places and artists and shit like that. Even like, you know, your boy Nice Things in Philly, you know, with his beer. Yeah, Chill Moody and his partnership with the brewery, and I think he moved into kombucha and some other shit now. Was dope, you know what I'm saying? And then here in Atlanta, there's a brewery that partner with with Atlanta Influences Everything to make a lemon pepper wet beer, which was interesting. You know what I'm saying? I had it. The artist who did the packaging is Tuki Carter, I think his name is. He's like one of the owners of City of Ink Tattoos. So he did the packaging, which is dope. The beer itself, you know what I'm saying? Dope in concept, but it tastes more like a woman's beer to me, because it's more like it's very citrusy, very lemony, you know what I'm saying? So it comes off more like a hard cider than it does like a beer, which is cool if it's cold and you're out and about and you're kicking it just on some kick it tip, but it just wouldn't be what I would sit down and drink. You know what I mean? Right. I need something with a little more bite to it. You know what I'm saying? With a little more, you know, aggressiveness to the palate. But I think all of that is interesting because you do have a lot of black breweries popping up. And I'm a fan of beer because just the amount of flavors and things that they're doing with it, like, creates this range of taste and shit that you know, it's not just Heineken and Corona. You know what I'm saying? Because I grew up, it was just Heineken and Corona. You know what I'm saying? Red Stripe at a Jamaican event. And I think the first time I drank a beer that wasn't like Heineken or Corona was, in L.A., and it was a Hefeweizen. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the guy, he broke it down. He's like, you know what, Hefeweizen is pretty good. It's great for summer. And then you put this, squeeze the orange juice, the orange in it, and it gives it, opens up the flavor. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then he squeezed the orange and shit. And I took the drink, and I'm like, wow, that shit is dope. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, wow, I never thought of beer in a way of, you know, trying these different flavors. I just thought Corona and Heineken, you know what I mean? And that just opened my eyes to, you know, exploring this. It's a lot of different things to explore when you go down that rabbit hole. And, you know, sometimes you come across a dud spud. Like, it's one, I had one craft beer, man. That shit was taste like garbage. You know what I'm saying? Like literal garbage. It's like it tastes like a skunk smell. And it's like a very pungent. I'm like, ew, what the fuck? Hell nah. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I had this one beer, Maine Beer Company. Mm-hmm. Very small outfit, but they were selling it at a restaurant in Bed-Stuy. And I was like, oh, man, this is fucking delicious. You know what I'm saying? Looked them up. They was a small outfit operating out of, like, a barn, like a little barn in their yard or some shit. And now they expanded. They doing bigger shit. But I think they opened their own brewery, like a physical place you can go to now. So, you know, I like it. It's like discovering independent artists and shit.
Right. I was about to say that. It's got that independent, you know, that come up feel to it, especially when they just starting, you know, real modest, mm-hmm. and they blow up. The brewery that I was saying that uses a lot of artists is Doghead. You know, we've had Doghead before.
Yeah.
They definitely use quite a few good artists and shit like that. Or they put you on to a new artist or whatever. They lean into the art shit, but yeah, man, yeah, that might be the new cereal out. Might replace Lucky Charms and all that other shit. Speaking of the crazy flavors, I don't know if it's real or not, but I saw online that they got Flamin' Hot Frosted Flakes. You know, they're going crazy with these Flamin' Hot flavors. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like some bullshit, first of all. Mm-hmm. Flamin' Hot and milk, which is ridiculous. But, yeah, I don't know if it's true or not.
Maybe the milk would offset the Flamin' Hot. That's interesting.
Maybe, that's, but even still, like, I just don't even think that flavor profile even match.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheetos and milk. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about the Flamin' Hot shit. I think we all, I mean, I think that shit is cancerous.
It's the blue raspberry of this day.
What the fuck? Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? What the fuck is this shit? You know, it's just sorcery. Like, what kind of chemicals y'all using to create these flavor profiles that make a chip taste like whatever? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm not young no more, so, you know. When I was back in my day, sour cream and onion was dope. You know what I'm saying? Right. You know, sour cream and cheddar was dope with a fucking Dr. Pepper and shit. But you can't eat like that no more when you grow. That'd be like your whole day. That's your sustenance for the day. Nigga, I had some Doritos and a Dr. Pepper, nigga. Good.
Right, be straight with it. Yeah, that'd be it. Yeah. Mm-mm. Flamin' Hot feel like that shit popping up everywhere too. You know how flavor get real hot for a minute, no pun intended, mm-hmm. but it just get, you know, it's real popular and shit like that. They trying to put it in everything. So yeah, I guess it's running its course. But
yeah.
Anyway, shit. What else is good with you?
Nah, man, shit. Life is good. You know, speaking of Flamin' Hot Cheetos, my daughter, she's a fan of Flaming Hots, you know what I'm saying, and everything else that drives a daddy up a wall and shit, you know what I'm saying. So we're at that age, you know what I'm saying. She's a teenager, 13 now, and you know, this is when your kids start asking for all the shit that you're gonna say no to and shit. Hey, can I get fucking lashes? Can I get fucking, can I dye my hair? Can I fucking get contacts? That was the latest shit.
Colored contacts or just contacts?
Colored, colored context, just to see how the framing was. I want to just see how it looks. I'm like, which I know that's the trick. Once you got them, you're going, you know what I'm saying, try to rock them.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't fucking fuck with that kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? Not that, you know, I don't want to be the policing women dad. Uh-huh. But let yourself become a woman. You know what I'm saying? And so it had the conversation of, you know, I would like you to see yourself as yourself. You know what I'm saying? While you're still young, you know, while you're forming in your formative years. You know, you do whatever you want when you're grown, but you know, here, you know, see yourself as yourself for a minute. And they don't get that. You know what I mean? Especially you come up in the world and it's Instagram, there's filters, there's, you know, everything is not yourself. Everything that's hot is not organic and natural, you know what I'm saying? Right. So to speak. You know what I'm saying? On you know, at the higher levels of hotness.
Right.
So it's kind of like, damn, bro, how you figure this shit out? How you do this shit without, you know what I'm saying, making your child feel like you're against everything that's them, so to speak, as what they think. You're a hater. You're a greatness blocker.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, man, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? And it comes so fast. Like, you know what I mean? Like, before it might be once every 3-4 months. Now that shit is every day. Some shit you gotta say, oh no. Nope, not that. I mean, yeah, if you let my brother do this and that, you won't let me. Nope, You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, but when you're talking about kids, they always over exaggerate the shit. You know what I'm saying? You let, you know, if my brother did that, you would let him do it.
Deepen it. Yeah.
Anything he wants to wear, then he could wear it. Da, da, da. Well, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
He not really trying to wear, you know, shit that's, you know, all the way to the edge. You know what I'm saying? You are. You trying to go to the edge with this shit. And I'm not with it. So, short of, you know, being a belligerent, oh, hell no ass daddy, you have to figure out how to have that conversation. And I don't know how the fuck to have it. For real. I'm trying my best, but I don't know if I'm winning. You know what I'm saying? How do you convince? I guess you don't. I guess it's part of nature. Like, your kid's gonna always not get that shit they want and then be like, when I was a kid, my parents wouldn't let me motherfucking buy a .22 caliber pistol. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, no.
Right.
but you know, I don't know, man. That's all. I'm dealing with that type of shit now. That's the type of shit.
Special episode of Black Fathers.
Black Fathers.
I got two questions. One. What does your wife say? You know what I mean? How does she handle it? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then two, when you're saying no, are you hitting your daughter with like an alternative, or you just straight no? Or do you like try to spin it like, you know what, let's compromise here, let's try this, or you just like, nah, and throwing that shit, get that shit out of here. What are you doing?
First of all, my wife ain't playing no games with shit. She's like, no, and no, God, don't get out of my face. You know what I'm saying? I'm the guy, you know what I'm saying? If mommy says no, or I'm the first let wave, okay, shit, I might be able to get daddy, you know what I'm saying, to go along with some of it. Not the pushover, but the you know what I'm saying, the lesser of two evils, you know what I'm saying? You got a better chance at getting something out of the deal.
Gotcha.
Then, you know what I'm saying? So with me, I'm definitely a no. Nah, I ain't got no alternative because I don't know where the shit gonna go next.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Unless like, you know, she sends some pictures or some shit and be like, okay, if that's what you're looking at, then you might. Sometimes there's alternatives for it. Sometimes it's just a no. You know what I'm saying? It's just a no, absolutely not. You know what I mean? The contact shit, that's a no. Ain't no alternatives. Nah, come on, nah. They ain't even finna get into, you know what I'm saying? That type of thing from my perspective. You know what I mean? Not on my dime, not on my watch. You know what I'm saying? So
I like that. Not on my dime, not on my watch. That just sounds crazy. I like that shit. That just sounds militant than a motherfucker. I can dig it. Fathers against contacts.
Yeah, but then, you know, then you start, you know, then you start looking at the conversation in the world. And, you know, saying, am I being patriarchal?
Right, am I being, you know what I'm saying?
But it's still hell nah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had that conversation with yourself, but come on, man. This is a child. She could do all that fly shit she want when she grown. But, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to at least try to put, you know, some of this shit in perspective. And I don't know. I don't have all the answers. And I don't want to go overboard in the wrong way. So I keep that in mind as I'm, you know, I'm parenting. Because I've seen it go off the rails. I've seen some parents be like, hell nah, and get real strict and be hell nah. And then their kids, you know, volunteer to run away or, you know, saying like, shit, I'm going to the group home, live with my friends because they can do whatever they want. Mm. And they think that shit is cool.
Right.
Until it ain't cool.
Right.
Until they there and shit. Then it's like, oh shit. And then you shit, you 30 something by the time you able to get yourself back, and it still don't take away all of the negative experiences that you've put yourself in harm's way for those years. So, you know, you be trying to protect against shit and you be trying your hardest. And you know what I'm saying? As a kid, I didn't recognize, you know what I'm saying, how hard that is to protect your kids from what you know as an adult.
Right.
And what they don't know about being an adult, why they rushing to get to adulthood. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you go that way, you're going to pay for it for years. You know what I'm saying? It's not an easy walk. You know what I mean? It might seem easy when you're looking at it on the ground, but when you're actually taking that walk, that's a hard walk. You know? And you be trying to protect them from that shit. But then they be like, that motherfucker right there blew up. If that's what you want to call it.
Right.
don't you just want to be a doctor or some shit? God damn. Ah.
Yeah, that shit's different now. I was going to say, how different is it on two levels? One, raising a daughter as it was opposed to raising your two sons. And then, mm-hmm. on top of that, this is your youngest. So, mm-hmm. again, she's done the research. Like, she was a witness to the evolution of her two older brothers and what mm-hmm. went down and what was, you know what I mean? So, she got receipts mm-hmm. on a certain level. How is the mm-hmm. how's the offense or the defense, how's it differ than the parenting in the first two?
Well, the thing about parenting is that each child is different. You know what I'm saying? Way different. They have a whole different set of things. And yes, entering the equation is, okay, I've seen this one and I've seen that one. I've seen how y'all deal with them, and I'm adding that to the equation as well. On top of being a whole different personality and shit. And, you know, I be looking at, you know, you know, when people be like old souls and shit like that, you know what I'm saying? That should be making a lot of sense to me because, you know, one of my kids feel like he never been here before. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is his first trip around this earth and he's learning everything new. You know what I'm saying? Intuitively. My daughter, on the other hand, feel like she is 75 years old as a soul. You know what I'm saying? That know certain shit before you supposed to know it, and just, she just tapped into a different energy source, you know what I mean? So, which makes parenting her a whole lot different than parenting the boys, you know what I'm saying? Then you have one who does all of the societal things you're supposed to do right as a child. Like, you go to school, like, as a child, if you go to school, get A's, and you do good at school, like, you've done your job as a child, you know what I'm saying? As from what society says, like, you've done all what you need to do. So, you got one like that, you know what I'm saying? You got one who just, you know,
who has his own way of doing things, and it works, and then it don't work, and then it works. You know what I'm saying? And then you have one that's just bullish on, I know what I want, and this is how I'm going to do it. And you have to create strategies for each one that to try to be fair and equitable, but you know, each child is going to push different buttons. You know what I'm saying? Like, some children, you fuzz like, listen to me. And they fall back and then, you know what I'm saying, recognize the error and then, you know, they come back a different way. Then some, you, listen to me. You're like, but that don't make no sense. You know what I'm saying? You're like, what? Listen to me. But, you know, when you did this and then did that, then da, 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 da. You be like, well, God damn it, stop talking back. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And it don't work, you know? So you have to be able to deal with the personality of the child. And it ain't just because she's a girl. She's just different. You know what I mean? She's a whole lot different than anybody in the house, which I think is special. Which I think is going to be the key to her success in this world. But it's a headache as a parent. You know what I'm saying? If we could fast forward to 1921.
To the reveal.
Then shit. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be like, okay, this is the, if you go wop, wop, then you could do woo, woo. You know what I'm saying? This is how you make that into something successful.
Right.
But as a child, you trying to protect them from the world, the big bad world out there. You know what I'm saying? You don't want, you already black and tall, like, you know what I'm saying? You're already being over policed on everything you do. You don't want to give them more ammunition to over police you and shit, because you got, you know what I'm saying? You got long nails and eyelashes and shit. You know what I mean? So you giving them extra reason to discount you and all that shit. So you trying to protect them from all of this shit that goes on in the world with grown people. To try to, like, just be a kid. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're going to have a long time to be grown. Come on. Can you just... But that's kind of out the door. So now you have to work with, okay, how do you parent a child that, you know what I'm saying, is knowing what they want and they bullish on what they want and how they want to do it.
Right.
But also knowing you was a child too. And you was doing silly ass shit and you wanted to do shit that you know what I'm saying, your parents ain't want you to do either. You know what I'm saying? And so while I worry, like, God damn, you wanna wear these kind of clothes, blah, 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 blah. You wanna buy clothes from these old cheap ass websites and shit. But then you think about when I was in middle school, shit, our whole style was from the flea market and shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Fake silk shirts from the flea market and shit, Stacey Adams boots and tailor-made pants and shit. But we thought that was the shit. That shit look crazy nowadays. You know what I'm saying? The way that we was doing it. So, you know, that gives you optimism of saying, you know, she'll grow out of it and net out somewhere. You know what I mean? Hopefully your parenting kicks in and it nets out the way you would be, the way that you would like for it to work out. But if not, hopefully, you know what I'm saying, she's able to be successful at whatever, wherever it nets out. And that's all you could want as a parent. It's tough. That should be coming fast. As soon as you get ready to focus on your work. Can I get a nose piercing? Oh, Lord, no. Shit. But why? But why? But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but that's what I'm up to.
Yeah. You saw the BET Awards?
Well, I ain't gonna lie, I ain't seen them, but I did watch some of the highlights. But what struck me from what I did see is that a lot of, you know what I'm saying, speaking of, you know, of dressing and, you know, being young, a lot of these kids have cleaned up their little red carpet looks. You know what I'm saying? I was pretty impressed with some of the looks, you know, that some of these youngsters put together. I like what Cardi B had on in her performance, her pregnancy reveal with the open, not open, but, like, you know what I'm saying, the way they had the stomach framed. I was like, okay, these kids learning what to do. Like, the BET Awards usually be, you know what I'm saying, a joke on the red carpet. But, you know, then you had someone, you know, you had like Megan and her boyfriend. They was looking like a little cute couple and shit. I'm like, look at the kids growing up out here. You know what I'm saying?
Look at them. You know look at them.
Yeah. Like, look at the kids. You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay. You know, so that was one of the things I thought was interesting about it, from just a visual perspective. A lot of the kids have, you know, tightened up their red carpet looks. You know, I guess, you know, the pandemic gives people time to think and reflect.
Right.
But you know, it was the kids was looking good out there. You know what I'm saying?
Did you watch it with your? Oh, you ain't watch it. But I was gonna ask you. Who's your daughter inspired by, style wise?
She not even. I mean, she listened to the music and stuff like that, I guess, but she's not referencing any particular celebrity or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? It's just a compilation of, you know, what you see in the neighborhood, like, you know, the girls around the way and those types of, you know what I'm saying, those types of things, you know. So it's like, you know, if you go to school every day and then you passing girls with the triangle braids and da 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 da, then that's what it is. Like, she's very New York, and you know what I'm saying, very Brooklyn at that, you know what I mean. So it seems like she's affected by what's around the neighborhood more than what's on TV, so to speak. Cause they don't watch a whole lot.
I don't even know triangle
braids. Well, it's like the box braids, but instead of it being a square where the braid is coming out of, the way the parts are, they're triangles. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know what they was either.
Okay. I know it's about the little plot of hair at the base.
Yeah,
oh, okay,
Yeah, at the base where they parted. Instead of parting it as a square, they parted as a triangle, and that's the hot shit right now amongst kids.
Got you. Okay, got it. I see. That's what you're saying.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, she loves Air Force Ones and shit. Like, you know, like, so she want to wear Air Force Ones. And her mom was like, what the fuck? Like, you know what I'm saying? Wanting to dress more like, you know, like a girl.
Right.
And she does dress like a girl, but Air Force Ones is what it is right now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she had one stretch where she had high top Air Force Ones. I was like, wow, that's what we doing? And that was the shit. That was her preferred shoe.
Right.
Period.
Period.
So, period. You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't think, so it's not as much affected by like TV pop culture stuff. It's more like the neighborhood stuff.
Gotcha.
And then you'd be like, damn, I should have lived in a different neighborhood. But, you know, you can't close their eyes from what's around, and the more they move around, they will see, you know, different things. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so like, you know, I was watching what was going on with the reports on the BET Awards, and I was like, you know, these kids, you know what I'm saying, they pulling it together. You know what I'm saying? Summer Walker was looking good. I like what Tyler the Creator did with his show. That was very creative.
Yeah,
it's weird because he you know what I'm saying, artists like that don't usually hit the BET Awards. Right. You know what I'm saying?
That was his first BET Awards.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like for him to be there and to bring that level of creativity to the show, I thought that was dope because the BET Awards, you know what I'm saying, last year in the pandemic, they were the most creative show out of all the ones that came out that had to do it virtually. So I think that it may be a new day in the creativity that goes into the show from these artists and the respect that these artists give to that show, because during that time, they did a better job at what they was doing than a lot of the big shows.
Right.
So
right.
Thought that was cool. You know what I'm saying? I saw what Lil Nas X had to offer. You know what I'm saying? He lived in his truth.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Enthusiastically. You know, raised a lot of eyebrows, which is, you know, that's the job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the job. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, you might not agree or might not, you know, be able to swallow it or stomach it.
Uh-huh.
But he went out there and did his job at the best of his ability to secure his space in the place.
Right.
So,
right.
You know what I'm saying? You got to give him a, you know, a nod on that. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, you know, I think the BET Awards is evolving.
Yeah, I think so. I think, and it's funny too, you think about just generationally, I think, you know, especially given this last past summer, the racial unrest and everything, and like even prior to that, but as a result of that, I think that the black community has definitely been a little bit more, I don't know if militant is the word, but just definitely more, there's more solidarity. Like even with the like the TikTok strike.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right,
like
right.
You see it, like you started to see a lot more unity, a lot more celebration of black culture. So, you know, always was the thing of, well, y'all go to these white award shows, but y'all don't really go to the BET Awards. Y'all won't go to the NAACP Awards. And it seems as though like the community is like, nah, let's celebrate our shit. Let's wave our flag with a little bit more gusto because we all we got type shit. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that has something to do with it, especially with this new generation. You know what I mean? Because it's a new generation of stars. You know what I'm saying? And maybe BET's been there for the, you know, towards the beginning for a lot of these stars. Like they gave them their first breaks, and these people, these celebrities are a little bit more reflective of that. Like, okay, true indeed. Right. Let me go ahead and celebrate where I'm celebrated. So,
And I think what has changed is like now that these artists have done, a lot of artists have done all of the major publications, you know what I'm saying? Especially in this era. It's not as like this thing anymore. Like, you know, when it was coming up, you had, you know, you did the Source XXL Vibe. And then, you know, if you broke out and you became Jay-Z or fucking Puffy, you could do Esquire and GQ and all this shit. You know what I'm saying? You know, but by the time, and then they would stop doing the black publication. Like, you know what I'm saying? That ain't even on the level no more. I'm up here. You know what I'm saying? Ja Rule, GQ Man of the Year type of shit. You know, and then you had no real need to go back. You know what I mean? But now in this era, everything is different. You know what I'm saying? The playing fields have leveled out a little bit. And once, you know, I think everybody's playing at the same level per se. Like artists are looking at, yeah, if I get Vogue, that's going to be cool and all. But I still have to, you know what I'm saying, touch down with the folks. You know what I'm saying? Because these people ain't all the way accepting me there. And I think that's happening because nowadays, Vogue and all of these places, Esquire and all these places, they are getting the artists at the same level as, you know what I'm saying, XXL is getting them. You know what I'm saying? They reaching down in the mud like, shit, that's popping right now. Right now, I'm fucking, you know what I'm saying? So they getting them just as quick as everybody else. So it's not as like you had to work your career and then you made it to that shit no more. So right, so it's not on some type of pedestal. It's like, oh, they need me just like, you know what I'm saying? They need me just as much as I need them. Like, they go, oh, they coming down here in the mud to get me? Psh, okay. You know what I'm saying? So I think it takes a little of the value and it evens out the playing field so that, you know, artists are not just looking like, oh, that's the end all be all. Once I get there, I'm set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So,
Yeah, I didn't see it. I was out, but I didn't really catch the show live. I caught a few performances online, and yeah, it looked cool. I typically like to watch the BET Awards just to watch it. Speaking of watching shit, a spectacle. Did you see Soulja Boy versus Bow Wow, the Versus? You see that shit or nah?
Nah, I see the aftermath. I you know what I'm saying? That wasn't my era. I mean, I respected everything Soulja Boy did. I did pay attention to Soulja Boy during his come up, you know what I'm saying? His YouTube, MySpace era, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Bow Wow, you know what I'm saying? Not so much, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't tell you much of his music, you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't something I was really excited to see, and it felt like promo. It felt like straight promo. Because the Millennium Tour is coming with Bow Wow, Soulja Boy, and B2K type niggas, so Marion and all them. So that's coming. So it felt like a promo run, you know what I mean? So it was like, versus becoming the promo run now. So it's like, I ain't got no beef against it. But I do, in the aftermath, I do feel like it was good for Bow Wow, because, as goofy as he always comes off, placing him with Soulja Boy puts him with a nigga that's goofier than him. You know what I'm saying? Which once you put them together, he kind of looks like the one that's like, okay, a lot of people saying he won. But I like Soulja Boy's audacity. I like, he's his own pitch man. You know what I'm saying? He's his own Don King. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's a fucking, his own hype person. And he deserves a lot of the accolades that he's asking for, but he's just so wild about getting it that you gotta just, you know what I'm saying? He don't need no help. You know what I mean? Soulja Boy don't need no help out here. Bow Wow, I think, needed a little help to shore up his
legacy,
persona. I don't know.
His legacy is intact, but his persona, his current status, I think could have used a bump. Yeah,
because he was a joke. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had a whole Bow Wow challenge. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was trying hard to be relevant, and niggas was clowning him a lot. So I feel like he needed that shit.
Right.
And Soulja Boy helped him get that. So,
it was interesting. I think maybe only one, and I guess I made this commitment casually at first, but then I was just like, fuck it, we'll see how long it lasts. But I said, I'm not going to miss any verses, right? It's just part of the culture. Yeah, I just say, fuck it. I mean, especially when everybody was inside. It was like I wasn't going nowhere, so fuck it, let me tune in. Even if I'm not as connected to the artist, because what I realize is sometimes I just watch it with like an anthropological eye. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even always the artist. The artist is definitely part of it, but it's the audience. You know, I remember you made that point earlier, like the audience is such a big factor in it. But it is one of those things, like where it really struck me initially was probably when it was Jada versus Fab, right? Because I'm a fan of both of them, but Jada is obviously the elder out the two. And I didn't realize it was much of a generational divide between Jada and Fab. You know what I'm saying? Like, certain, if you're a certain age, you like, oh, Kiss got this, that's going to be easy. And other people was like, man, Fab is going to wash him. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I peeped that. Was one of the first type of times I saw that. And you see it over and over in quite a few, instances. But now, when it comes to Soulja Boy and Bow Wow, first of all, I'm generationally disconnected to both of them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I do remember Bow Wow being, quote-unquote, Mr. 106 in Park. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But to me, Bow Wow has always been a kid rapper. You know what I mean? Even as he's grown, you still kind of look at it like it's hard sometimes to shake that. It's really, really rare. I mean, Wayne is probably the best example of somebody like totally getting that residue off of them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that shit took a lot of verses. Anyway, so then Soulja Boy.
But Wayne was rapping grown folk shit as a kid.
So. Kid, as a young buck. Yeah, he was wild. He was running around wilding. He wasn't presented in a way of, look at, this guy. You know what I mean?
Cute kid.
Yeah.
He was on back that ass up. You know what I'm saying?
Right. He was in the same spot as Juvenile. Everywhere Juvenile was at, Wayne was there looking young and out of place. Like, is this kid supposed
to? Right.
No, don't worry about it. He good. That's my son.
Wobbity, 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 right. Dropping like it's hot, nigga.
With Soulja Boy, like, what I noticed with both of them is the generation that claims both of them, like, they fiercely fuck with both of them. Like, there's certain people that will be like, nah, don't trip. Bow Wow's a fucking legend out here.
You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I understand, like, if you was a certain age, especially if you was somebody, like, when 106 and Park came out, I was in college. So if you was a kid that mm-hmm. was watching 106 and Park and voting for the videos and shit like that, that was like your Jay-Z. That was your guy. He was right. making music right. for you. You came up with him. So, you know what I mean? Like, there's a different reverence for what he's done. You know what I'm saying? Because he was getting mm-hmm. plaques and having number one songs and all that shit. But to me, the context was always like, oh, he's a kid. You know what I'm saying? You know, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that, but there's people that be like, nah, don't sleep. Bow Wow's a fucking legend. My first show was the Scream Tour. All of that type of shit. So right. there's that.
Right. And no, that's the same thing with this Millennium Tour. You know what I'm saying? It's like Scream Tour as graduates. And right. So okay. that shit was out of my, that, you know what I'm saying? I was way gone by yeah. then.
Right. You know, arguably changed music. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. He played a large part in what has turned this internet era. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes he gets credited as of late, you know, as of the last few years, people have kind of mm-hmm. given him his credit. But then to your point, he's definitely, he knows how to play it up. He knows how to kind of get his Rodney Dangerfield on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, look, I get no respect, but he's like, I created that. The whole shit that you did, mm-hmm. I did that. And, like, we spoke about this before. He's got, since he's been in the game, everything is on video for him. So he's got real mm-hmm. receivers. Like, yo, pull up this on YouTube. I did that back in right. fucking 2013. Pull this up. And it's like, oh, shit. All right. Fair enough. Right. You got it. So,
right.
The actual verses, and honestly, that shit was chaos. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit was ridiculous. It was chaos. Soulja Boy doing the same record a few different times. Bow Wow definitely came across looking like the elder, the more mature mm-hmm. out the two. You know what I'm saying? Soulja Boy definitely kind of came across of the more current out the two. He did the, I forget who had this, who did this same thing before. But they was like, yo, I forget who, what verses, it'll come to me. But the refrain was, yo, but you ain't got no hits from now. Like, what's going on? That shit was 10 years ago. It's hot. But that time ago. You ain't on the radio right now. Like, he kept killing him with that. I could tell Bad was a little tight about it, too. But go ahead.
That was Gucci.
Gucci. Yeah, play some regular. Yeah, play some new shit, some current shit. We get it, Trap or Die. That was what's up. That was, what was that, 05, 06? That was a long time ago, Pop. You know what I mean? But yeah, he was hitting them with a little bit of that. They were going at each other. You know what I'm saying? And you never know what the true level of friendship is, because it seems like they are close. Because there was points where the mm-hmm. motherfuckers was going in on each other. Like, you know, if your ego ain't where it should be, it could turn into a situation. But overall, it was cool. And as of late, the most recent versus talks, there's two versus talks I want to get your opinion on. And I might transform out of there after this. But, okay, so DJ Envy asked Lil' Kim at the BET Awards on the red carpet. She was like, yo, are you open to doing verses? She was like, yeah. Like, straight up, yeah. So it's almost like, mm-hmm. I don't know if this is already in play. It's like, well, who would you do a versus mm-hmm. against? She was like, Nicki. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is pretty interesting because, you know, mm-hmm. their past, their history, obviously, you know, some people would have wanted to see Kim and Foxy, but I think Kim and Nicki is...
Which is more appropriate.
It's more appropriate because it's more of that era.
Same era ass shit. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, that's the first question. Who would you rather see, Kim versus Foxy or Kim versus Nicki? If you had to watch one of them,
Foxy.
And why is that?
But because, I mean, Kim versus Nicki, it seems like it would be more like, let me cash in on some of this shine that Nicki has now and let her give me some of these, you know, these props for leading the way. You know what I mean? So it don't seem more like a versus, it seems more like a, you know, like a, let's celebrate, you know, where my style or my look and feel comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's how I would look at it. Yeah, it's more like an homage type of versus. You know what I mean? And we've seen those. But when it was really Foxy versus Kim at the time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And we could go ahead and settle this out. Like, who was it? It was another one like that. Where it was like, let's go ahead and settle this out now. Because this was the thing.
Brandy and Monica.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, shit like that. You know what I'm saying? It was one in hip hop too as well. That was like, let's just go ahead and settle this.
Gucci and Jeezy.
Well, that too. You know, all right, bet. So there it is. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So to be more like that for me, I would rather see Foxy and Kim.
Uh-huh.
And then let Nicki go with somebody that's current. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? That's out here now. But I think Nicki, yeah, Nicki is just current on tip of the tongue.
Right.
But pause. but Kim and Foxy will probably be more, you know, it will have more tension. You know what I mean? I'm not sure what Foxy is with her hearing right now, right. But you know what I'm saying? It seemed like it'll be a little more versus-y. You know what I'm saying? Than Omaji.
Yeah, I see that. I think I would rather see Kim versus Nicki. I mean, Kim versus Foxy would be cool because we all know that, and you know, it would be interesting. I think it would be more. I think Kim versus Foxy would fare well more for Foxy. Actually, for both of them. And it would be more of a celebration than an homage, right? I think that.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be one of those things like Gucci Jeezy where we kind of, or even Monica Brandy, but more Gucci Jeezy where we kind of like put our rivalry to rest and we hopefully embrace each other and we, you know what I mean, celebrate each other or whatever. And then they both could kind of get their shine. I think Foxy, you know, especially since she, you know, her hearing issues, she kind of been away, you know what I mean, from the limelight even more so than Kim. So it's like you got to research Foxy to remember that Foxy was nice. Foxy was nice. Foxy got a dope voice, crazy delivery. She had some hard records. Like, that's the beauty of Versus. Versus is like the new Behind the Music or the new Unsung for a lot of people. Because it's like you start to remember people's catalog. You're like, oh, shit, I forgot. Or, you know what I mean? People that it might have looked a little lopsided off top. Like, when I saw the, like, Trina versus Eve, I felt like could have been a little lopsided off top. But it was a lot more competitive than what I thought it would be. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Kim versus Foxy is lopsided at all. I think it, and I think, again, like I said, I think Foxy would benefit from, you know, that light again. Like, okay, let's not forget. You know what I mean? Now, back to Nicki and Kim. What I think is ill about Nicki and Kim is, okay, yeah, I guess there is that homage element because Nicki definitely was heavily inspired by Kim, especially early on. You know what I mean? Like, you know, even down to the album art and shit like that. But I think too, you know, while like it's two generations. It's two generations. Mm-hmm. And I think it would actually benefit both of them, but I think it would benefit Nicki probably more than even Kim. Kim is already celebrated by her fans, even though Nicki got her fans, but Nicki also has a lot of people that kind of look at her sideways. You know what I'm saying? For a bunch of different reasons. I think as far as the current, like amongst the current crop, there's more people that are inspired by Nicki or at least benefit from the door that she cracked than probably would even be willing to admit. Some would, some wouldn't. You know what I mean? I don't think she has a peer in the current scene. Like, I don't think Cardi's her peer. You know what I mean? Cardi's probably the next hot female rapper, and then that created the line of Meg and all of these new, you know what I mean? Everybody else kind of female, like woman rappers going crazy from like Rico Nasty to Doja Cat to on and on. Like it's abundance of them. Whereas Nicki was kind of dolo for the most part. You know what I mean? Remy was in jail for a while. Kim was kind of, you know, at the end of her career,
Nicki was kind of the one. You know what I mean? And I also think that it'll also showcase the fact Nicki can rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Nicki can rap and Nicki write her own shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I think it'd be an interesting way to kind of to get that respect that I don't think she really gets beyond the barbs. I don't think people really kind of, you know, I think, and it seems like it's been a conversation that's been starting to bring her back into the fold with that whole Mount Rushmore 2010. And, you know what I mean? Like, she put out her mixtape, put some new records out. You know what I mean? I think she's coming out with a new album. Hopefully it's a little bit more hip hop centric. You know what I'm saying? So it'll be an interesting rollout benefit for her too. So, but who knows? Now, the other one that I saw developing, and it's been funny too. Niggas is talking greasy. Nori versus Beanie Siegel.
Why niggas talking greasy about that?
No, Nori talking greasy. You know, like, it's shit talk. Not like
he hyping it up.
On some old, you know, we promoting the fight type shit. But like, I ain't never really heard Nori talk greasy like this in a minute. Like, going in on us. And Siegel ain't no sucker. You know,
Well, you know, Nori is he has a podcast that's been running for years.
Right.
He's well versed, and he's been on the mic. He's been on the mic talking to the people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's found a whole new space, so he can talk. You know what I'm saying? He got people that are, you know, listen to his talk. It's like Beanie. If you Beanie Siegel and you've been in Philly chilling and shit like down, nigga, like, you have to start to craft the voice from scratch.
Right.
But, you know, I could see that, but I don't know. I don't know where I fall on that, because while I've heard Nori's big records, I never dug into a Nori catalog. I never went into a Nori album and been like, okay, yeah, you know what I'm saying, and really investigated it. Beanie, when he dropped, I was a big fan of Beanie. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, this nigga is the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when his first album was about to drop, like, nah, I'm in Miami. Because I live in New York now. I'm in Miami. Nah, this nigga here is, you know what I'm saying? This nigga here is real. He got it. And, you know what I'm saying? Then the truth dropped. And I'm down there, yeah, check this shit out. You know what I'm saying? And what I've learned, you know, I was way more zealous than them niggas was.
With the Miami niggas?
You know, you still... Yeah, you start playing it, and then,
you know, it don't resonate.
You know, you feel the room get empty on the energy and shit. You're like, nah, but listen to the nigga, man. The nigga said, and you be like, you realize that it's just you,
right?
And it's like, you know what I'm saying? Because I think on his album, while I like the truth, the aesthetic of the truth was very, it didn't have a lot of texture. To me, you know what I'm saying? It was his voice. They kind of went minimalist and let his voice lead the way, which probably was that's the most sensible way to go when you got somebody with that kind of voice. But when you talking about resonating across the board, it fell a little flat. And I was like, damn. And I just always wanted Beanie to win.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. That was just that's where I stand on it.
Nah, I hear you. Where I'm at with it, off the top, I would have, and I heard people saying this for a while. You know, even Nori was saying, like, Nori versus Cam. I think that would probably be a more interesting matchup, just because they got more hit records. Like, I'm a huge Beans fan. That's like one of my favorite lyricists. He's a beast. Beans makes great albums. Like, might even have at least two classics under his belt. Like, he makes amazing albums, but them albums is chock full of, like, album cuts, which are fire if you're paying attention. You know what I mean? But, like, if you in a versus and you're only paying 90 seconds of What's Your Life Like, that shit might not might not go up against fucking, you know, Super Thug. Or, you know what I mean? Like, Nori got... I could hear a Nori set in the club still. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really know much of a Siegel set. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be a Siegel fan. You could put together a Siegel set, but I don't know if it's going to resonate in the same way as a Nori set.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, Nori got the Pharrell factor, and then, you know what I mean? Like, there's there's a few other things. I think the shit talk would be great for both of them. I think they probably have good stories. You know, they fuck with each other. You know, they've worked with each other outside of music and shit like that. So it could be interesting. It could be one of them things, like, it could help recast Siegel, because I don't think that Siegel get enough credit for how ill he is. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially how the whole shit with him and Jay ended a little bit, and then, you know, when he got shot, and, you know what I'm saying? Oh, is this, I mean, when he lost, like, he lost his voice for the most part, you know what I'm saying? Or it's way different. Mm-hmm. Like, it kind of took a lot of the ferocity away from his shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, Siegel was, I remember watching that motherfucking MTV Diary where Siegel would hop off the stage going after somebody. Like, that nigga was like a pit bull. Like, he was off the chain. You know what I mean? That's why I was surprised when Noy was talking crazy. I was like, oh, y'all niggas is wildin'. This nigga Siegel's not to be played with. But, yeah, it'd be interesting. I don't, you know, like, it's a weird one sometimes. It'd be interesting who the crowd would be. You know, the crowd definitely plays a big hand. I think they kind of share a similar crowd. I think Nori got more hits that are just, like, straight to the ear. Like, oh, you can get it within a minute and a half. Siegel got that shit where what he's saying is
the whole verse.
Yeah, you need, because you need to hear this nigga. He gonna say some shit where you like, oh wow, that was you know what I mean? That was deep, you know what I mean? But I don't know how that deep shit really resonate in verses. But who knows? You know, who knows? You know, because you know, who know? You never know. Sometimes it works out. It's how you play it. But yeah, I'm curious to see what happened. That'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well, we're going to see.
We'll stay tuned. Let us know what y'all think in the comments. What you think of them versus matches, some of these past verses, what was your favorites? What's your predictions on, you know, what would you rather? Kim versus Foxy, Kim versus Nikki. Or would you rather Nori versus Cam, Nori versus Siegel? Who are your predictions? You know what I mean? And whatever else, man, just, you know, engage with the people. We always like talking. Let's open this conversation up to the conversationalists.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.